You're listening to BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station.
Breakout Radio Church, now having church services daily at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Central Time. Now, here is Pastor Deo Gentry.
Hey, good Sunday morning, everybody. Welcome to Breakout Radio Church here on this quite cold November Sunday morning. So good to have you with us here at Breakout Radio Church. And I'm prepared to preach a special sermon tomorrow, part two of my sermon on Jesus Wept. And so it's going to be a great day. Breakout Radio Church is a global church without walls, comprised of members in many different geographical locations across America and around the globe, responding to Jesus' command to go into all the world, preach the gospel to all creation. That's what we're doing here, Breakout Radio Church. We're a house of prayer for all nations. And my wife, Jean, is coming to help welcome you to church today. Jean, it's good to be in church today.
Yes, it is. And welcome, Breakout family. So happy that you're joining us at Breakout Radio Church this morning.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are. We're very excited about the service today and what God is doing at Breakout Radio Church. And, we're thankful for all of our members, aren't we, Jean?
Yes, we are. We're very thankful, very grateful.
So
it's going to be a great day today.
Yeah, so blessed to have you in church this morning. We're going to pray before we get started. We have Godfrey Brothers going to come back and lead us in a song of praise. And but first of all, we want to pray for the service this morning. We also want to pray for one of our church members, Pastor Dave Rogers. His wife, Anita, went to be with the Lord this week. Her memorial service was this past Friday afternoon, and we prayed many prayers for Anita's healing, and today we want to announce that she is healed. Some people get healed on earth, and some people get healed in heaven. Want to pray for the Rogers family today. Want to pray for Eugene Bullard, Pastor Eugene Bullard, who has been suffering for several weeks from a back injury. We want to pray for Gary Pack, who has been in very serious condition in an Albuquerque, New Mexico hospital, associate pastor there at Gateway Church in Roswell. Want to pray for Pastor Easy Jones in Sugar Land, Texas. We also want to pray this morning for the wildfires in California.
Yes.
That have taken lives and property. Over 200,000 people have been driven from their homes. That's serious, isn't it, Jean?
Yes, it is.
Well, and so we're praying for safety for those in the path of these fires this morning, and for those who have lost their homes. We ask God for your help. And, of course, we're praying for a divided nation as recounts are taking place across America. Father Gene and I just set ourselves in agreement, Lord, that your will is going to be done here today.
Yes.
At Breakout Radio Church, and that you would minister to these needs that we have mentioned this morning. Holy Spirit, we ask that you anoint our ears to hear, our eyes to see, our spiritual hearts to receive.
Yes.
We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you, Jean, and we are excited about the service today. We're going to get started with Godfrey Birtle, one of our spiritual sons, and he helps lead praise and worship here at Breakout Radio Church, and he's going to start us off with a song that he wrote, and I guess I helped write this song several years ago, taken from a series of sermons that I preached. So here's Godfrey Birtle, and let's all praise and worship him today. And as we declare, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. So here we go. Come on, church. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Let's sing it, Godfrey.
Bless the Lord, O my soul.
Hallelujah. 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 Lord, we bless you this morning. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits, who heals, who forgives all of your iniquities, who heals all of your diseases, who crowns our life with loving kindness and tender mercies, who renews our strength like the eagles. Hallelujah. Lord, we bless you today. We are so very, very thankful for this Sunday morning at Breakout Radio Church. We're so grateful. Hallelujah. Would you bless the Lord with me? Oh, we bless you, Lord. We are so very, very thankful, and we're so grateful for all of your blessings, Lord. You're such a good God. You're such an awesome God. You're such a mighty God. We're so very, very grateful and thankful. We know you. Thank you for this day, Lord. Hallelujah. We bless you, Lord. We thank you, God. We come with thanksgiving in our hearts this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lifting up holy hands to a holy God. We are so thankful and so grateful. Hallelujah. 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 When I kneel down and pray each morning, I just say, Lord, I'm thankful to be alive today. I can breathe. I can touch. I can feel. I can walk. I can talk. I can hear. I can speak. I can eat. I can drink. And I do have food to eat and water to drink, and I can kneel and I can sit and I can stand and I can run. I'm alive. So many, many small things we take for granted. But sometimes we overlook the small things. So, Father, we just take a few moments just to praise you and honor you and magnify you today, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Like the man who complained that he had no shoes, and then he met a man who had no feet. Father, give us an attitude of gratitude this morning, we pray. We break our radio church. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. 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 We bless your name today. Honor you. We're so grateful, so thankful for all that you've done for us, all that you've meant to us, Lord. We love you. We love you. I want to give you an opportunity this morning before we have a special song and I preach. For those of you that are giving your tithes and contributions, I want to give you an opportunity this morning to give. Jesus said it is more blessed to give than to receive. You know, Gene and I know I emphasize it a lot, but Gene and I live to give. You know, there are some things that God puts in our hands. He gives us bread to eat, to pay our rent or our car payment or electrical bill, whatever it may be. And then he gives us seed to sow. And that is the way that we continue as Christians, as believers, those who believe in biblical principles. That's the way we continue to be blessed. We're thankful that we have jobs to go to, our businesses, but we know that our source is not man-made, but our source is the Lord. Hallelujah. And it's all about the law of sowing and reaping. If we reap sparingly, we're going to reap sparingly. If we reap bountifully, we will reap bountifully. In Jesus' name. And we just declare in the name of the Lord that we're going to continue to reap bountifully because we sow bountifully. Hallelujah. So would you prepare your tithes and your contributions today? If you have a check, you can make your check payable to Breakout Ministries, and you can send that to P.O. Box 91985. That's Breakout Ministries, P.O. Box 91985. Austin, Texas, 78709. Austin, Texas, 78709. And of course, all of that information is on our website. And if you are giving by PayPal or credit card or debit card today, then you can go to bpnradio.com, our website, bpnradio.com. And up at the right-hand corner is the donate button. You can click donate. You'll see Gene and I's picture there. And if you'll click on to PayPal, you can use your PayPal debit card or credit card. And we just want to give you a few moments to prepare to give. And I just want to speak a blessing upon those of you that are giving your tithes and contributions. If you're a member of Breakout Radio Church, we're so very, very thankful and grateful for your generosity, for your giving. Breakout Radio Church is supported by you, our loyal members. And we have members all across America, different nations of the world. I just want to welcome you today. And if you'd like to be a member of Breakout Radio Church, you can just go to our website, bpnradio.com, and click on Breakout Radio Church. And the membership link is right there at the top, bpnradio.com, and Breakout Radio Church. Father, I just pray that you bless the people that are giving today, giving their tithes, giving their offerings, their contributions. Bless them abundantly and bountifully in Jesus' name for their faithful giving. We ask it in your name. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. while you give, and before I preach this morning, my wonderful friend Kelly Lindsley is going to come and sing a song that he wrote called Peace Be Unto You, and God's laid a special message on my heart. Here's Kelly Lindsley, and then I'm going to preach. Kelly, come and sing.
Sit and you wonder, is it all for the best? Is it all a part of living? Is it some kind of test? When the weight of it all makes it hard for you to stand, just remember that he's offering his hand. When the battle lines are drawn and you see no end in sight, and you hope for something different, out of darkness would come light. Just be sure that you're doing all that you should do. Just be sure that you remember he is too. And the hard times will come, but it's easier when you know the Father loves you, when you know he really cares, when you know there's not a way around the tears. But don't sit too long and cry among the thorns, for that's not what a child of God should do. Peace be unto you. It's not hard to tell the difference between victory and defeat. It's not hard to tell the difference between bitter lives and sweet. For the battles are not fought to give us pain that's without end. They are fought for we have something to defend. And the hard times, you know they come, but it's easier when you know the Father loves you, when you know he really cares, when you know there's not a way around the tears. But don't sit too long and cry among the thorns, but that's not what a child of God should do. Peace be unto you.
I want you to turn your Bibles with me to, thank you very much, Kelly. I want you to turn your Bibles with me to the book of John, chapter 11. I want to read from there this morning. And I'm going to begin reading with the first of John, chapter 11. I'm going to preach a while, and then we are going to pray. Here's what the Bible says in John, chapter 11. Now, a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary, and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil, wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sister sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Then he said to his disciples, "Let us go, that we may die with him," speaking of Lazarus. And when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away. And many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection of the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." When he had said these things, she went away and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, "The teacher has come and is calling for you." As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and comforting her, when they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out, followed her, saying, "She is going to the tomb to weep there." Then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would have not died." Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." And there then two of the most well-known scriptures in the Bible is verse 35, "Jesus wept." Now, I know there are many interpretations that Jesus wept. Some people say that Jesus wept because of their unbelief, or because Mary and Martha were weeping, or, you know, there's several different interpretations or reasoning over the years I've heard. But I believe that Jesus wept because his friend had died. I believe he wept because he was not only God, but he was human. He came in the flesh, and he wept because it was natural for him to weep. He wept because he was filled with compassion for them and others who were weeping at his funeral. Jesus came in the flesh and wept because of death and because there was a separation. You know, I was reading in the Bible last night in Ecclesiastes, where the Bible said that we were supposed to do some things before the silver cord is broken. That means that there is a departure. You know, when we are connected to a friend or a loved one, and there is that departure, then there is that emotion that erupts inside of us, even when we may not have anticipated or suspected that type of emotion would come. You know, several days ago, my sister went to be with the Lord. My sister, 1L, my only sibling, she was 10 years older than me. And, you know, I've had my sister as long as I can remember. And then I knew that she was going to go to heaven. In fact, my family and I had even prayed, "Lord, please take my sister. She's in so much pain, so has to take so many meds and so many ER visits and all of these doctor's visits and stress and anxiety and loneliness and pain. Lord, would you please take her?" And then God answered our prayer several days ago. And when they called and said, "1L's gone, your sister's gone," I burst out in tears. I just erupted those emotions, even though I knew that she was going to die. It was like the cord has been broken. That time on earth is over with her at this present time. And then the emotions. I wept. And I believe that weeping is a very natural thing. I believe that weeping is for our benefit. You know, one of my relatives, when my brother-in-law died several years ago, he said to me, "We need to hold up, Dale. We need to be strong." But I said, "No, we don't need to hold up." That's what we used to say in Oklahoma. You got to hold up. You got to be strong. I said, we need to cry. This is a very natural thing, to cry at the departure of a loved one. We need to weep when one of our loved ones or friends die. We need to weep over the loss. We need to weep over our city, our nation. I'm going to talk about why we need to weep. And weeping is good for the soul, as long as it is not extended. we need to weep. And Jesus wept. He wept at the funeral of his friend. He wept over the death of a friend. Set an example that we are to weep. You know, the Bible says in Deuteronomy 34, the Bible said Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eyesight was sharp. He still walked with a spring in his step. The people of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab. How long did they weep? They wept for 30 days. Then the days of weeping and mourning for Moses came to an end. 2 Samuel chapter 13 says, then Jonadab exclaimed to the king, see, it's the king's son's coming. Just as I said, he had no sooner said the words that the king's son burst in loud laments and weeping. The king joined in along with all the servants, loud weeping, many tears. David mourned the death of his son, the Bible said, for a long time. 1 Samuel 30, David and his men burst out in loud wails. That's when their wives and their stuff was taken. They wept and wept until they were exhausted with weeping. The man after God's own heart, weeping. David's two wives had been taken prisoner along with the rest. And suddenly David was weeping, and the others were weeping and wailing with him. It is very important that we have a broken spirit, that we're able to weep. Have you ever seen anybody that could not cry? They could not cry at the death of a loved one. They could not cry at a funeral service. They could not cry over the loss of somebody. They just could not cry. You know, we need to be praying, church, that God would take out, if we are in that condition, that God will take out a heart of stone and put in a heart of flesh. That means a tender spirit. And if we don't have a tender spirit, we cannot be kind. We cannot be compassionate. We must have that broken spirit so that we'll be able to weep, a tender heart, a tender spirit, accompanied by a kind spirit, kind words. You know, there was a deacon in the church that I used to pastor in Rush Springs, Oklahoma. His name was Brother Ballou. I don't know what his first name was. He was an elder man, Brother Ballou. When I'd give people an opportunity to testify, he would not testify, but he would get up and quote this scripture, "Be ye kind." I can still see Brother Ballou sitting on the second row at the end, he and his wife, Sister Ballou, Brother and Sister Ballou. And he would stand up and he said, "Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you." And then he would sit down. And that was a tenderness. And I believe today that weeping is so important. I preached my sister's funeral this past Wednesday in the town where I was born, Marlow, Oklahoma, at the First Assembly of God Church in Marlow. I want to thank Pastor Rogers and his congregation for serving us there. And it was a time of weeping over my sister. It was very, very healthy to see people that wept. And, you know, you don't hear much about weeping, but it's very, very important. You know, the Bible says in Psalms 30, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Weeping precedes joy. And there's a lot of people that cannot be happy in life. They cannot find joy because they do not have a tender heart. They do not have a weeping spirit. They seemingly just can't break down and cry and let it out, let it go. There is a release of your soul, man, a soulish man, your soulish being when you weep. And sometimes I get concerned over people that cannot weep. And there are several reasons that I want to share with you today. That several reasons why and when we should weep. We should weep over the loss of a loved one, even as I've talked about. And that might even be an animal in your life. You know, when my dog Blackie died years ago, I wept over Blackie. I loved her. She had been with us, what, maybe 12, 13 years, and a loyal dog, a faithful dog, a, a great companion. When Blackie went to heaven, I'm not going to say dog heaven because I believe there's animals in heaven. And when she went to heaven, I wept. My family wept. And so when my sister died, when my father died, when my mother died, when I've had the loss of other loved ones at the funerals and at their death, I wept. And I believe that it's so important for us at the loss of a loved one to weep. And sometimes we may feel that the tears are uncontrollable almost. We should not try to control them. We may weep for a few minutes or a few hours, or we may weep for several days. And so the loss of a loved one. We weep over the loss of a marriage, the loss of a relationship, the loss of a friendship. You know, David, he wept over the loss of his friend that he loved. They had meals together. They spent time together. They hung out together. Have you ever lost a friend, somebody that just turned their back on you because of a misunderstanding or because of an offense? Did you weep over the loss? Have you wept over a divorce that's gone on in your life? What about when you moved from one city to another? I remember years ago, Gene and I were pastoring the First Assembly of God Church in Rush Springs, Oklahoma, from 1970 to 1977, and we have led several different churches, but it seemed like it was that move that was the most difficult. Gene and I had been able to build a new home out in the country. We'd only been living there a little over a year. Gene had put her new furniture in there, and it was like we pastored the whole town of about 1,400 people there in Rush Springs, Oklahoma, just a little town south, about 100 miles south of Oklahoma City. And we knew that God wanted us to make the transition to Oklahoma City, Dale City First Assembly of God Church. But it was so difficult. It was so difficult leaving the people. And I remember that for days and weeks after we left, after we moved from that small town to the big city of Oklahoma City, that I wept. It was like my spirit was, I knew that we were supposed to do it, but my spirit was so grieved at having to leave the home where my kids were going to school. We knew that we needed to make the transition. Gene moved out of almost a brand new home into a 50-year-old parsonage. That's Gene Gentry, always willing to obey God to whatever the cost is. It was very difficult when we moved from Oklahoma City to Rockwall, Texas, and left our son there. And it was difficult when our daughter went off to Oral Roberts University. And Gene and I, for the first time, it was just her and I. When my daughter went off to school that day, I remember weeping after Darla and Gene drove off to Tulsa, Oklahoma. I wept and I wept. Because there was a transition. There was a change. It was natural. It was natural. And if you do not allow your tears, your grief or your sorrow to flow out in the form of tears, you will find yourself developing a hard heart. A hard heart. You know, in the natural sense, what happens is that if we have hardening of the arteries, we begin to have major heart trouble. We need a heart transplant sometimes. And if we do not allow ourselves to weep, if we do not allow ourselves to cry, I must say that your pastor is a crybaby, a crybaby. I can weep at the smallest things, but I'm thankful if that's what you want to call me. If you want to call me a crybaby, that's okay. It's all right. I want to never, ever have a hard heart, hardening of the spiritual arteries. I want a heart of flesh. I do not want to have a heart of stone where I cannot weep. When other people, sometimes other people weep, and I weep with them. because of them weeping. Tears come into my eyes. I believe that Jesus not only wept over the death of Lazarus, but he also wept with Mary and Martha. He wept along with them. You know, I've, over the past 51 years of full-time ministry, I've preached so many, many funerals. Some old, some elderly people, some very young people, some in their in right in the prime of life. And there's been so many times, because tradition, the tradition has been that when I complete a funeral service, then I go and stand at the head of a casket, and when the people come by, I'm there for them. If they need a hug, if they need a prayer, if they need consoling. I don't know how many times I have stood with a family friend or a family member and wept with them, put my arms around them and wept with them. It is important that we not only weep for ourselves, but we weep for others and with others as well concerning a loss. Another reason we should weep is because there are people that are without God. How long has it been since you've wept for one of your loved ones, your family members, your friends that do not know the Lord? I believe that Jesus wept over the lost. And it's very, very important that we have a list of people that do not know the Lord, that do not know Jesus as their personal Savior, that we pray and we weep over them. We weep over the lost. It's important that we weep over our city, our nation. We are living in a nation called the United States of America that is not the United States of America. We are the divided states of America. We are a divided people, and we know that united we stand, but divided we fall, and we are currently divided. And with the elections this past week of the Democrats now controlling the House, the Republicans, the Senate, we know that we are in the natural more divided than ever. And so the only hope that we have is calling for mercy. Mercy, giving a mercy cry, weeping. You know, Jeremiah, he was known as the weeping prophet. And Jeremiah, he wept over his city. He wept over his nation. He wept. He was concerned. And today, as Christians, as believers, when we look at the situation going on in America, the violence, the hatred, the angry words that are being spoken. One person says, I could never forgive you for this. And another person says, I could never forgive you for that. God, we must walk in love and forgiveness. And our only hope as a nation is God. And we are our only hope for the nation is the church. We, the church, if my people which are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways. He said, I'll hear from heaven, forgive their sin, heal their land. We need to give a mercy cry. Oh, God, heal my nation. How long has it been since you wept over your little town over your big city? Oh, God, heal our nation, heal our land. We've developed in America a mob mentality. What are we going to do in this land? What are we going to do when streets and cities are on fire? What are we going to do when violence takes place in the streets? And all of that will happen, as I prophesied many, many years, unless we have another spiritual awakening, unless we have a major revival in every major town and every city. We must have revival. We must have another spiritual awakening. That's why that I've set aside my travel schedule, except for special events that I go to stand behind a microphone, not only preach on Sunday here on bpnradio.com, but to give oversight to this 24-hour internet prayer station, calling people to pray. I mean, I thank you guys for the 24 hours of prayer that you participated in. I started leading prayer 10 a.m. Monday morning all the way until 10 a.m. Tuesday morning, 24 hours of continuous prayer. that was led by hosted by several of our team and consultants, and many of you participated. Many people participated across America, different nations of the world. What were we doing? We were called. We were praying for the elections. We're praying for righteousness to prevail. And right now, we have division in our nation, even in cities where our states, where the election is all up in the air. And so we were praying for the elections, for righteousness to prevail. We pray for revival every day. We have prayer around the clock on bpnradio.com. And now, this month we'll celebrate 4 years of broadcasting, 24 hours a day, around the clock, around the globe. Why am I doing it? Because I know that the only hope for our nation, the only hope for our land, is to pray for revival. We pray for young people. We pray for older people. We pray for certain needs. Most every day we have some type of guest on that is praying. We're talking about and praying for specific situations. We need to weep over our cities. We need to weep over our nation. And then, of course, we need to weep over our sins and transgressions. How long has it been? How long has it been since you have wept over your sins? How long has it been since you have wept over your transgressions? You know, it is so very, very important. You know, the Bible says that Peter remembered the words of Jesus, who had said to him before the rooster crows, "You will deny me three times." So the Bible said Peter went out and wept bitterly. Then Peter, another translation says, Peter called to mind the word that Jesus had said to him, "Behold, the rooster crows twice. Before the rooster crows twice, you'll deny me three times." When he thought about it, he wept. You know, the Bible said that in Psalms chapter 34, the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. You know, the Bible says in Psalms 51, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. You will not despise. It is a broken spirit, one translation says. It's a broken spirit you want, remorse and penitence, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, you will not ignore. What does contrite mean? Contrite means expressing remorse or penitence or repentance. And, you know, when we sin against God, we sin against other people. When there's sin in our lives, there needs to be a brokenness about that. Accompanied penitence or repentance accompanied by tears. When Peter was reminded how he had sinned against the Lord, denying the Lord, denying that he even knew the Lord, that he even knew Jesus, when it came to him, we remember the words of Jesus, he went out and wept bitterly. He cried bitterly. And so there's times when we need to cry bitter tears. Bitter tears over our sins, over our spirit of unforgiveness, over hurting other people, wounding other people, wrong choices and wrong decisions that we make. There needs to be a weeping, a remorse over that in Jesus' name. And even before I conclude my message today, my sermon today, I want to give those of you that don't know the Lord an opportunity to get saved right in the middle of my sermon. I mean, any time is a good time to ask Jesus to come into your heart, forgive you of your sins. And maybe you are a backslider today, and your heart has been hardened. Your spiritual arteries are all clogged up with unforgiveness and hatred and anger at someone that has hurt you, someone that has done you wrong, someone that has left you, someone that you're offended at, someone that has broken your heart, and now you are very bitter. And so many times when I see people that can't cry, when they can't weep, I discern a spirit of bitterness. When you are bitter, it's very difficult for you to cry unless you're very angry. When you're very angry and you're crying angry tears. That's not a good time to weep. But when you are weeping over your sin, over your attitude, over the words that you've said to someone, how you have hurt someone, or if someone has hurt you, and you are weeping tears saying, God, I forgive them. Lord, I do forgive them. And maybe there are some of you today that are very, very angry at God. You're angry at God. You're mad at God. You said, if God let my loved one die, God did this, God did that. And you are blaming God for things that he was never responsible for. And your heart has become very hardened toward your God. And most people that are backsliders far away from God is because they're angry at their God. So today's a good time to come back home to one that loves you, to one that cares for you, to a Jesus that died on the cross, that you might have life and that you might have life more abundantly. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Or you may not know whether you would, if you were to die today, you don't know if you'd go to heaven or hell. You just don't have the assurance of your salvation. Before I go any further, I want to give you an opportunity to get saved, get right with God, give you an opportunity to be born again. Accept Jesus as your Savior. Have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Huh? Your name. Once you accept Jesus, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And when you die, then Jesus looks in the Book of Life to see if your name is there. If your name is there. And you can put your name there. Today, I just want you to say this prayer to me. Lord Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. I believe you arose on the third day. I ask you, Lord Jesus, to come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. I accept you today as my Lord and my Savior. And with your strength and help, I'm going to live for you, Lord. I'm going to serve you, Jesus, all the days of my life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen and amen. Well, I just believe that people are getting right with God, getting saved today, having their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life for eternal life. Each day I thank God for life, but more so I thank him for eternal life. Hallelujah. 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 Tears of remorse. Tears of repentance. And then I want to talk about the final category of weeping. When should we weep? We should weep when with tears of joy. That means when we are worshiping him with hands lifted high, worshiping and adoring him and magnifying him, and tears coming down our cheeks, tears streaming down our cheeks as we worship him, as we adore the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We are worshiping Jesus, even in our private prayer times, even in our private prayer rooms. We are worshiping him, and we are, tears of joy are weeping, are welling up and flowing down our eyes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Weeping with tears of joy, worshiping him. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning, joy unspeakable and full of glory. When the glory of God comes in to a church service and to our prayer rooms, great joy that we know Jesus and we're thankful and grateful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And there's other times that great joy, we're to weep with joy at the birth of a baby. Oh, hallelujah. When our children are, when a child, a grandson or granddaughter, our son or daughter is born into this world, there's weeping. At a wedding time, have you ever seen people cry with tears of joy at a wedding? Maybe when your team wins the Super Bowl or a ball game, you're so happy, you're jumping up and down with joy, and just there's so much joy that tears are going down your face. Is it appropriate? Yes, it is appropriate. Is it profitable? Yes, it is very profitable. Maybe a promotion on your job, maybe signing a new contract in your business, maybe moving into a new home. I can remember moving into a new home and Gene and I weeping with tears of joy, so thankful. Or maybe seeing a friend or loved one that has received a promotion. I remember when Gene was healed of cancer in 2004. I could not seemingly quit crying because my wife had been healed and the doctor's report came. There is no sign of any cancer. No sign. Gene and I, we wept with joy. It seemed like I wept for days saying, Lord, I will always be thankful. I could never, ever be sad again. And there was so much joy over her healing. And others, they chimed in and they wept with us. Great, great tears, big tears of joy. So today, I'm thankful. I'm just thankful. I'm thankful that I'm able to cry. I'm thankful that I'm able to cry. I miss my sister so much, my only sibling. And it just reminded me at her funeral that life is very short. The Bible said it's like a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. It's very, very natural to cry. But I also wanted to cry because I realized concerning my sister that there would be no more ambulance rides for her, no more lonely nights, no more meds, no more anxiety, no more pain, no more panic attacks, no more worrying about having to pay her bills, no more house repairs, no more crying over the death of the two husbands that she had lost. That's what heaven's going to be all about. Well, I'm thankful I'm going to heaven. Hallelujah. And all things are going to be new. The Bible said in the book of Revelations, then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Hallelujah. 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 I'm thankful for life today. I'm thankful for life today. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Only one life. It will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. That motto that I read in the little house that I grew up in Comanche, Oklahoma, had these words, a little motto. Only one life. It will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Hallelujah. What are you doing with your life today? What are you doing with your life? What's going on with your life? What's happening in your life? In Jesus' name, are you able to weep? Are you able to cry? I'm praying for you right now. Father, I pray. I pray for every member of Breakout Radio Church, or maybe those that are visiting Breakout Radio Church. They may even be listening to a replay of the service at 10 a.m. or 8 p.m. on Sunday, 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. through the week. They may be listening to a replay of this church service. I pray for them. I pray for them. I ask God that you minister to them and break up the fountain of tears. Break up. Let there be a breaking open of those hardness of hearts. And they'll be able to weep and cry when they remember your goodness, when they remember a friend that is gone, moved away, maybe someone they've not seen in a long time. And Lord, I know that, you know, just weeping all the time because we're sad, you understand that. But we cannot just weep all the time. I pray for people. They just weep all the time because they feel sad. They feel depressed. I pray for you right now. I break that cycle of sadness and sorrow and extended grief in your life. There just comes a time when you need to dry your own tears. If you have extended sadness and grief and sorrow, I pray for you right now. But for those of you that need to cry, those of you that need to weep, sometimes you lost a job and all of a sudden sadness comes upon you, how you lost that job and you break out into tears. Is that appropriate? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Or maybe there's a loved one that's been gone for a while. A pastor, a friend of mine in Austin, Texas, we were sitting in his automobile and his little boy was killed in a fiery crash when he was only a small boy. It happened a long time ago. But he sat there and cried. A man of God that pastors a large church. He wept there and he said to me, Dale, I miss my son. Wasn't grieving all the time, but he let the tears flow when he remembered how much he missed my son. Sometimes I cry because I miss my dad so much. Even though he's 92 years old when he went to be with the Lord, I love my dad, miss my dad, still miss my dad, and sometimes I weep. I want to have a tender heart, a tender spirit. And I pray for those of you that have hardness of heart today. I pray for you in the name of Jesus. I pray for you that you'll be able to cry again, weep again, maybe even sometimes at the smallest things. It's okay. It is really, really okay. And if it's necessary, it is necessary today. And I declare it is necessary. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Just want to let you know that I love you very much. I love you today. I want you to know that Jesus loves you. And I don't know what you may be going through right now. I don't know what's happening in your life. There's so many things taking place. You know, my pastor has told me so many times over the year, Dale, there's no trouble like trouble that comes your way. You know, I would pray for people that was diagnosed with cancer or were going through cancer, but when cancer came to my own wife in 2004, it was a different situation. Some things hit home, and we cannot go through life without challenges in our lives. I pray for you today if you're going through difficult times in your life. And if you just want to cry a little bit, you want to weep, it's okay. I ask the Holy Spirit to come and minister to you this morning. In the name of Jesus, I love you very much and I pray for you. And you have an opportunity to contact me, call me, send me an email, send me a text. If you need me to pray personally with you, I pray for you now. In Jesus' name, ask the Holy Spirit to touch you, minister to you in a very special way. Thank you so much for praying for me and Jean, my family, and the loss of my sister, my only sister, Juanel Talley, Marl, Oklahoma. Thank you for praying with me, and thank you for standing with Jean and I as we continue to reach out to do the will, plan, and purpose of God. I love you very much. Remember, preaching continues throughout the day on bpnradio.com. Preaching Sunday, 18 hours of continuous preaching. My Austin pastor, Bill Hart, is going to be next, and then we have other preachers that will come along and preach throughout the day. I love you today. Thank you for coming to church. Have a wonderful day. God bless you.